Welcome to the CodeCast Podcast. Real-world insights for your daily medical coding and billing processes. And now, here's your host, Terry Fletcher.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CodeCast Podcast today. My name is Terry Fletcher. We are at episode 127 of the CodeCast. I hope everyone is safe, staying at home if you can, exercising social distancing. I know this is a crazy pandemic time for everybody, and I'm glad you're listening to the podcast. I know it's tough out there right now. My topic today is going to be facts and fiction on telehealth. I know that there's a lot of information. You're probably on information overload. I know I have taught 5 webinars this week on telehealth for Medicare. And because there's so much information out there, I've been pulling out my hair because there's so much incorrect information out there. So I'm going to give you the rundown on facts versus fiction. If you want written documentation in a training session, you can go to my website at terryfletcher.net, click on services and webinars, and you can purchase the on-demand telehealth webinar that actually gives you all the sites, all the references, everything you need to also implement telehealth into your practice. So try and stay away from the free ones that are out there. You know, you get what you pay for. And I've been cleaning up a lot of messes from those so-called free webinars that give out that information. So just be careful. I know a lot of attendees, I saw one that had over 900 attendees. And between myself, I think Tony got some. We had over 100 emails and calls just cleaning up messes all week. So people saying, I'm told that I can bill for nurse visits. I'm over the phone. I'm told that I can bill for a phone call. And we were just like, okay, we've got to stop the madness at some point during all this. So this is what I want to give you today. Again, facts and fiction. And what I wanted to also bring to your attention, I know as a CodeCast listener, I know you are really trying to get as much information you can without having to pay for certain information, and I appreciate that, I do. But just know that some people actually charge for podcasts. I do not. This is my way of giving back to my community of coders and billers and administrators and physicians and doing it at a free of cost platform. However, if you want more information or you want to continue to get assistance, I get over, I would say, between 100 and 200 coding and billing questions a week through email, through text, through phone calls, through social media direct messages. And to be able to give you the quality service that I give all of my on-demand Coding Corner members, paid members, this is my consulting business. That allows me, by having paid members, to take the time to be accurate, informed, and provide you with nothing but current and updated information. Information is not free all the time. And so this is where I give you what you need to know now. But if you want to take it a step further and have reference materials and training, then you really need to either purchase webinars or sign up for my membership, because if you just continue to send me questions, you will just get an auto email saying, please join my membership. So I have to pay attention to paid clients first, but I appreciate everybody who's listening in and the fact that you're here. But again, just know that, because I know there's been a little frustration out there for people wanting everything for free, and that's just not possible. It just isn't, not in this day and age. So especially if you're a consultant. Okay, so facts versus fiction on the telehealth services. This has been really interesting. I don't know about any of you, but I think you're probably kind of sick of all of it. So first thing we want to talk about is who can receive services under the telehealth Medicare program. So Medicare added a waiver. So CMS added a waiver. It's waiver 1135. And it allows for new or established patients, okay, for claims submitted during this public health emergency. And you're going to hear me use the acronym PHE. Again, that's public health emergency. And on the Medicare fact sheet, it said that patients, new or established, can receive services. And I'm just going to talk about certain E&M services and value E&M services under telehealth, where you don't have to follow the traditional place of service guidelines, meaning that it doesn't have to be in a rural health center. It doesn't have to be in a metropolitan depressed area. And the patient doesn't have to go to an originating site that isn't their home. And so if a patient wants to call in on a video, two-way video conferencing call, then they can get these services. So let's just talk about Fact versus fiction. And again, I'm not going to give you everything or we'd be here for an hour and a half, but I am going to give you the rundown of what your basic services are. And then again, we have a beautiful webinar if you want to get further into this. But first of all, fiction. A patient can call your office and talk to the physician or a nurse practitioner or PA, and you can bill it out as an office visit. That is fiction. That's a myth. If the patient calls your office and they have a two-way communication device, meaning that there can be a video interactive conversation with an MD or DO or a mid-level provider that can also be saved to their medical record, then you can bill for an office visit, whether it be a new or established patient, 99201 to 99205. That's considered a common service under the telehealth of CMS's listed services. The reason you need to save it. Now, the rules say that you need to have documentation, as you know, of any E&M service and be able to prove medical necessity. So to be able to prove that, you have to be able to save it. So that's a common sense part of this. But can you bill for it? Yes. What about in the emergency department or in the inpatient? Well, for an ER telehealth consult, or an initial inpatient consult, your codes are going to be G0425 or G0428, depending on the severity of the condition. If it is for follow-up in the inpatient setting via telehealth, then it is going to be G0406 and G0408. So inpatient and emergency room hospital is different than outpatient visits. You have HCPCS for one, they're going to be tracking those, and then you have office visits for the other. Just like if they were coming in the office, but again, two-way video. Now what that means, let's go to a fact now. So let's say on the two-way video that the patient doesn't know, they only have a landline or they only have a flip phone because they're 80 years old and they don't know how to work that. And the patient just wants to call and talk to your physician. Can you bill for that? No, that is considered a phone call. Let's say that the physician has a way to see the patient through video, but the patient can't see the physician. They can hear them and the physician can see the patient. Is that interactive two-way? No. So again, no fact versus fiction. Do you need a modifier for these services? The ones that you need a modifier for are under telemedicine, and that means that you're dealing with asynchronous telecommunication, store and forward technology. So those are things that you're dealing more with device alerts for the patient. But what if it is a patient that is just getting an office visit? No. How do you recognize these services? Fact. O2 place of service indicates that it is telehealth and that you're using approved telecommunication technology. Okay, so that is going to be a pretty big one for these services. Now, is there something called e-visits? Yes. Okay, here is a fact on this. There are new codes, 99421 to 99423. Medicare doesn't pay for them right now. And what these are considered virtual or digital visits. And this means that the patient initiates communication through an electronic health record portal, secure email, or other digital application. That's under telemedicine. That's not under telehealth. There is a difference. Okay, so know the fact versus fiction. Medicare doesn't recognize it, and you would need to understand if there is a commercial plan who covers it. So check them out as well. Also make sure, here's another one. What about consents? Do I have to have a consent to treat the patient? Fact, yes you do. Does the consent have to be written? Fiction, no. But it has to be verbally documented. So the verbal consent has to be documented. Now it would be helpful if you had it on the video because then there's no question. But if you're asking the patient and then all you're doing is writing it down, it's your word against theirs. And let's just hope that they're in agreement with you because you're going to be billing out a service. And so that is where the consent has to take effect, where meaning you're billing something out. Okay, fact versus fiction. Patient will have a copay for any telehealth related services. Okay, so here's how this is going to work for Medicare. Let's say that you bill a 99214 for an established patient office visit, place of service 02, and you have your consent. And so you've done everything correctly there. The reimbursement comes back. It says you get $84, but the patient has their co-insurance or their portion of that, their co-payment portion of that. What will happen is that what Medicare has said is that OIG and HHS will not penalize a physician for waiving this out of pocket. Now, will the physician get paid for it? No. If you waive it, you won't get penalized for it. And they are insisting, Medicare, during this, again, this emergency time, PHE, public health emergency, they're insisting that physicians waive it for the Medicare patient. So they're forcing you to take that loss. That's something you need to know, because it's not something you're going to get funded for. Even if the government is saying you are, this money is going to go to the frontline people on the COVID-19. It's not coming to office visits. So again, here is another fact or fiction. Is this only related to COVID-19 diagnoses? Last week, yes. This week, no. So last week they said it was only related because they wanted to get people in as fast as they could that didn't necessarily want to expose others and get them into the offices. So this week, fact or fiction, now they're saying it can be for any emergent or acute problem. So the patient needs to be seen. There isn't a way to wait, and they need to be seen for either a scheduled visit or for a follow-up visit or for a new patient visit because they have an acute problem. You're even going to find payers like Humana where they say urgent needs only for 90 days. And that's something you really need to take into consideration, because a lot of the commercial plans are saying urgent, and they're saying that it has to only be for 90 days, or they're saying that it has to be COVID-19. Medicare is saying it has to be medically indicated, and they're saying the acuity and urgency has to be there. So what Medicare is trying to tell you is this is not a platform to, or I should say an opportunity, to start going and sending a blast email to your patient saying, guess what? Free office visits on our ice cream truck today. That's not what this is for. This is for patients who otherwise could not get into your practice because of the pandemic, and they have a scheduled appointment, which is medically necessary. So we've had different providers contact us saying, can we bill for this? Podiatrists, no, you're not under that. Chiropractors, sleep medicine technicians, you're not considered a qualified healthcare provider, and your services are not considered to be the acuity that would follow that urgent necessity for care. So that's why the Medicare program will go bankrupt if you don't follow these rules. If you think this is a telehealth free-for-all, you're wrong. And especially if you're one of my clients listening in, and I have several hundred of you, almost thousands of you in the country, make sure that you can support this, because for my service, as you know, I help you write appeal letters. So one of the biggest things I do with the Coding Corner membership is that I'm your person that you go to saying, we got a denial. What do we do? I'm like, let me see it. Let me help you. Let me send it in. I have to have support. And if I see you starting to bill for visits that are just routine checkups, that's a problem. That's not what this is for. This is basically saying, we are here for you. We know you're in-person office visits are going down. Patients need to be seen. And if there's an acuity there, an urgency there, we need to pay for those and not make it a problem. And that's what this is for. Now, there's another visit called a virtual check-in. Let's explain that, because again, that's not on telehealth. That is on telemedicine. So it's treated a little bit different. It's also a G-code, so it's Medicare only, and it's only for an established patient visit. So G2012, this is a virtual check-in by a physician or other qualified healthcare professional, again, MDDO or mid-level provider, that can report E&M services provided to an established patient and not originating from a related E&M service provided within the past 7 days. And it doesn't lead to another visit that you're going to say, hey, come into the practice and be seen. So let me give you an example of this. Let's say you're a primary care office or an internal medicine practice, and you have a patient that has frequent urinary tract infections, UTIs, and they haven't had one in a while, but all of a sudden they feel one coming on. and or an asthmatic patient, that's really big right now because stress really adds to this asthmatic patient. And let's say they need their albuterol or they need a prescription and they know what it is. Let's take that patient since that's the climate right now. And they haven't been seen for about a month or two and they call the office. And let's say they speak to one of your qualified practitioners. So it would be a nurse practitioner or PA or physician. And they say, I need my inhaler. I need my breathing medication. Can you call it in for me? This is what's happening. And again, they have not been seen within the last week. And that's called in for them. And they say, okay, just let us know how you're doing. If things don't clear up for you and you need to be seen, let us know. And you don't see them again in the soonest available appointment or within the next 24 hours, then you can bill for that. So that would be G2012. You must document 5 to 10 minutes of medical discussion for real time. And it also says synchronous telephone interactions. So it could be possibly that they want video, but right now I'm finding this only has to be a phone call. But then your place of service is different on this one. This one's supposed to be place of service 11. So that's different. That's different than the O2. So I thought that was a kind of a different change, if you will, of what Medicare is also doing. And then I just wanted to give you a couple more. And again, we have this laid out for you in a big webinar, and there's so much more. But a couple of things just to be clear on, just in case you're wondering. First of all, make sure that you don't have your nurses, your technicians, your medical assistants, or anybody out there that is not considered an MDDO or qualified healthcare provider, mid-level, billing for these services or trying to support, put them in there. That is not going to help you in the least. Also, how long is this waiver going to last? Well, somebody told me till the end of the year. Incorrect. The telehealth waiver will be in effect until the PHE declared by the Secretary of HHS on January 31st ends. So I'm assuming it's going to be probably at least 90 days, which would be at least June 1st. I'm thinking they'll probably extend it to August 1st. It just depends. And unfortunately, and I'm going to put it out there, and I'm probably going to get hate mail for this, I have a feeling as closer as we get to the election, it could be sent either even further. So it's an election year, guys. And when it comes to political clout, this is a big one. And both sides are really riding the wave on all this. So just make sure that you have all the information. I know there are FAQ sheets, there are FAQ articles, there's free webinars, there's all of that. But I'm here to tell you these are the facts, these are the truths and the myths, and making sure you know what is fact or fiction is going to be important to you. So that was just kind of a touch on it. Okay, my coding question today. Can I bill the 99354 add-on code for prolonged services for added time of a sleep study code? Okay, so that is no. Remember, 99354 is an additional code for prolonged services, and you would add it on to an E&M service. So you cannot bill for that code added on to a testing code because you're completing a test and sleep studies don't have a time threshold. So adding on an E&M add-on, an evaluation and management add-on for time on a test code would not only get you a denial, but it's not accurate coding. So that is not something you want to do. Our coding question was brought to you today by Stratus Building Solutions. They are leading the way in health, environmentally conscious commercial cleaning services, green clean chemicals, green clean certified, biodegradable, and non-toxic chemicals, providing a healthier environment for your customers, patients, and employees. Protect your practice today. StratusBuildingSolutions.com. Also, I wanted to put it out there. We've been doing a lot of really thanking and appreciating our nursing and physician staff and everybody who's medically contributing to this COVID pandemic, but also thank your janitorial staff and cleaning personnel. I have a couple of friends who work with Stratus Building Solutions, and they are working 12 to 14 hour days, nights, I should say, just as hard as our medical staff are working, and they're killing themselves to make conditions, sanitary and safe. So if you see any kind of janitorial staff, make sure you, thank them for what they're doing. And also your stockers at grocery stores, thank them. Oh my gosh, definitely. Are they having a tough time? Okay, I'm going to end with my personal insight this week just to take your mind off the news and all the craziness. Even if you're in a state that says your place of work is closed or you have to work remotely or stay at home, try to get outside and breathe the fresh air or go for a walk or just doing something outside of the news and leave your phone at home. Just try and maintain some kind of mental positivity. If you can, take a break from social media at least for half the day and take your mind off some of this stuff. I mean, you're going to get the alerts when you get back, your phone will be there, but you just got to find things that you can do, especially with your kids. One of my friends invited me to a virtual pajama wine party the other night. I love you, Dina. I was of course working late, but I had to crack up and hope I get invited again. She said they're going to do them once a week until this is over. But she said it was a blast. They did it over a Google Hangouts. They can have up to 10 people. And so it was just drinking wine and a pajama party, and it was all on video. I thought that was hilarious. Also, Netflix has a party line where you can actually watch movies, I guess, with friends live. First of all, I'm not really sure why you'd want to do that, having somebody sitting on a video chat with you talking during a movie, but it would be like real life. So for those of you that are into doing that, but it just helps, you know, everybody not feel so isolated. And I think that's important. Also, my favorite part of today, just to let you know, I almost wanted to say it at the beginning, my Business Collective podcast dropped. So it dropped on Monday. Finally, it dropped, and it'll drop every Monday. So that's going to be your Monday motivation. Find it on all platforms. Let me know what you think, our premiere episode. And if you want to go from employee to consultant or entrepreneur and own your own business, listen in. I'm very excited about this, hopefully bringing you through the journey of deciding to start and just how to get there and really how to be successful at it. In this climate where we don't know what's happening with certain jobs, this may be the time to start listening in. So hopefully everyone finds that helpful. But again, God bless everyone. Thank you on this Terry Tuesday. Make it a great day, a great week, and thank you for listening to the CodeCast podcast.
For more information on medical coding, billing, auditing, and compliance, including how to hire Terry, follow Terry on Twitter at TerryCoder1 or visit her website at www.terryfletcher.net. Podcast producer Joe Kuzma. Music producer Dasassin Music.